John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You don't need to turn to it. I'm going to tell you the story. It's a story of where Jesus meets a woman. The Bible says that he left Judea and he was headed to Galilee. And most Jews, when they took this trip, avoided the land that was in between, the land of Samaria, and they made a wide detour and went around it. Because the Samaritans, at least from the Jewish perspective, were half-breeds. They were half Jew and half something else. The Jews referred to them as dogs. They had no respect for them. They were not allowed to enter the temple. They were not allowed to take part in the ceremonies of the temple. And yet the Bible says that Jesus, when he got ready to go to Galilee, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. He came to a city called Sychar. There was a well there that was dug by Jacob. And Jesus was tired, so he sat on the well. The disciples had gone to buy food. It was the sixth hour of the day, or it was noon, so they had gone into the city to buy food. And a woman comes to the well, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus says to this woman, "Would you give me a drink? Could I have a drink, please?" And the woman was shocked, because back in that day, first of all, a man did not talk to a woman that he did not know. And second of all, a Jew did not talk to a Samaritan. In fact, she said to him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." Then the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water?" Jesus answered, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now in the Bible, thirst is used for those folks that have a longing for God. Thirst is a physical desire that the Bible uses to compare to those people that want to know God, that want to know that he exists, that want to know that he loves them, that want to know that he has a purpose for their life, that want to know that when this life is over, there's something beyond that. And everybody, and in the Bible, over and over again, that desire for God, that desire to know him, and that desire to know what he does and what he's all about, is referred to as thirst. Let me read you some of the verses. In Psalm chapter 42, verse 2, the Bible says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" In Psalm 63, verse 1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." In Psalm 143, verse 6, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." The woman that came to Sychar's well that day was thirsty. Yes, she probably was thirsty for water because she brought her jug to fill up her jug with water from the well, but she had a deeper thirst. She had a soul thirst. She had a thirst to know God. She had a thirst to know that he existed, that he loved her. She had a thirst to know that he had a reason for her being. She had a thirst to know that when this life is over, there's something more than just death. And so she said to Jesus, she said, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." And everybody that has that thirst, everybody that has that longing for God, everybody that desires to have a relationship with God, that needs to know that he exists and that he made you and he loves you and that he's got a purpose for you and that this, when this life is over, he'll take you. Everybody that has that thirst is invited, just like this woman was, to come and drink from that living well. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." We read in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." What is this living water? What is this water that satisfies the soul's thirst? I'll tell you what it is in one word. I'll tell you how to get it in one word. You get it through Jesus. You don't get it any other way. You get it through Jesus. He said in John chapter 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In John chapter 7, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Is there anybody here today that's thirsty? Is there anybody here today that has a longing to know God? Is there anybody here today that says, I want to know that God is, and I want to know that God made me, and I want to know that God loves me, and I want to know that God has a purpose for my life, and I want to know that when I come to the end of my life, that life is just not over. There's something more. I want to know that there's a God. If you're here this morning and you're thirsty, I invite you to come to that well of salvation. I invite you to come to the well that Jesus talked about, that if you drink from, you'll never thirst again. You say, how do I do that? You do what Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He'll satisfy the thirst. He'll satisfy that longing. And by the way, he's the only one that can do it. You don't get it any other way. You don't get it by joining a church. You don't get it by getting baptized. You don't get it by taking the Lord's Supper. You only get it by believing in Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'll remind you this morning, he made you. Say, no, preacher, I was born. No, you were made by God. It says in John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You say, preacher, that's talking about the world. That's talking about creation. I want to remind you this morning that you are a creation of God, just like Adam was in the Garden of Eden, just like Eve was in the Garden of Eden. You say, well, I had parents. No, you had a God that made you. He has a purpose for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, God didn't make you and say, well, I got to figure out something for them to do. No, he had something that needed to be done, and so he made you. Now you listen to me. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you are in your Christian walk. I don't care if you've slidden back some and are on the road to recovery. In this room of people, in this room this morning, there are people in all stages of their Christian life. There are people that have had all sorts of experience. But this morning, the ground is even. God has a purpose for every single person here. That's why you were made. You say, Brother Darrell, I'm not even saved. Well, that's why you're here this morning. He still has a purpose. He made you for a reason. He wants you to get saved, first of all, and then he wants you to go out and do that good work for which you were made. Every single person. I don't know about you. I don't know how people that don't know God, that don't know that he has a purpose for them, can face this life day by day. I want to know that there's a God and that he made me and that he has a purpose for me. And the God that I serve, the God of this book, is that kind of God. He made you. He has a reason for you being here, a purpose for you to fulfill. And when you die, there is more. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself so that you can be where I am. I didn't quote the last part of it quite right, but I got the thought. He wants us to be where he is. And when we die and when this life is over, this old body will lay down in the grave and it'll quit functioning. But we will not die. We that know Christ will go to heaven. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the blessed hope that we have for those that have departed before us, and the blessed hope that we have when our time comes, is that because we know Jesus, we'll get to go to heaven and be with him. This morning, if you're here and you're not saved, you need to drink from this well. You need to come to Jesus and you need to tell him, I know I'm a sinner, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You need to tell him that you're a sinner. You need to tell him you understand, according to the Bible, that there's a penalty for that sin. For the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but separation from God forever. And you need to say, Jesus, I don't want to pay that debt. I know that's what I owe. But thank you for going to Calvary and paying it for me. And this morning, I receive that wonderful gift of salvation that you offer. I receive you as my Savior. Please save me and take me to heaven. And the Bible says that if we come to him and do that, he will in no wise cast us away. He'll receive every single one that comes and admits their sin and acknowledges him as their Savior. Would you drink of that well this morning? You know, that's where the joy comes from. We sing that little chorus in Sunday school. Sometimes I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And you know, sometimes we yell, where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart to stay. It's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And if you come to Christ this morning, if you get that thirst that you have for God satisfied, you can say like Peter did in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You listen to me. There's no way that you're going to find joy on this earth apart from God. Say, oh, Brother Darrell, I think some of the things that the world has to offer, they will give me joy. I'll tell you, no, they won't. They may give you happiness for a moment, but it will be fleeting. Your joy comes when you know that there's a God who made you, loves you, has a purpose for you being here, and then knowing that when this life is over, he's going to take us home. That's where joy comes from. And you won't find it in anything that the world has to offer. Now, I know that many of you here this morning have already taken a drink from that living water. You've done what verse 3 says. With joy, you've drawn water out of the well of salvation. But the next verse, verse 4, speaks to us that are Christians and says, here's what you ought to be doing. Here's what you ought to be doing as a Christian. Number 4. Verse 4, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. If you're a Christian here this morning, you ought to spend your days, I ought to spend my days praising the Lord. The Bible tells us over and over and over again that we need to praise him. In Psalm 146, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praise unto my God while I have any being. I read that verse and I think of somebody that's tired. I think of somebody that's wore out. I think of somebody that's on their last leg. Maybe somebody that's been sick for a while. And they say, while I have any being, I will praise God. What it's saying is, if I have any life at all left in me, I will use it to praise God. If I have any strength at all left in me, even though I'm tired, I'm wore out, I'm hanging on to the last knot of the rope, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to praise God. If I have any breath at all, maybe I labor to breathe, and maybe it's an effort to breathe. But he says, while I have any breath at all, I'm going to praise God. While I have any being at all, I'm going to praise God. We ought to be the same way. I know life is full of trouble and sorrows and heartaches, but you have a God who sent his son to die on the cross in your place. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who is preparing a place for you this morning in heaven if you're a Christian. And I don't care what your troubles are. I don't care what your heartaches. And sure, I hurt with you. And I will weep with you. But you listen to me. Our praise of our God, our praise of our Savior ought to transcend our troubles. It ought to transcend our sorrows. It ought to be bigger than the things that we face day to day. We have a God that loves us, that changes not. And we have a God that deserves our praise. Praise Him. Praise Him. And then it says, number two, praise the Lord, call upon His name, pray, pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about nothing. Brother Dennis referred it to in his prayer a moment ago. A lot of people worry today. And God said, no, you be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I'm glad we got a God that invites us to pray about everything. It's not just about the big things. It's not just about when cancer comes. It's not just about when we lose our job and wonder where the next meal is going to come from. Yeah, He wants us to pray about the big things, but you know what? He wants us to pray about the little things too. The little day-to-day, everything, the day-to-day things of life, He wants us to pray about. And everything in between. He says, in everything, pray, pray, pray. And then number three, it says, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people. He wants us to proclaim to others the kind of God that He is. In Psalm 77, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. This old world needs to hear from Christians today that our God hasn't changed, that the same miracle-working God that filled up the pages of this book is the same God that we serve. Peter and John were hauled before the religious authorities in Acts chapter 4. They were preaching Jesus, and the religious authorities said, you can't do that anymore. You got to stop. You can't preach anymore about Jesus. You're raising a ruckus in the city. And if you keep preaching, we're going to get you. We're going to throw you in jail. We're going to do something to you. You got to stop. And Peter and John said, we can't help but tell the stuff that we've seen. We can't help but tell what we've seen Jesus do. We can't help it. If we tried to hold it in, we'd be like a bottle that would bust. We can't but speak and preach the things that Jesus did. And that ought to be the same thing for every single one of us. Every single person here this morning that knows Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have something to proclaim to this world. You have a proclamation to make to the men and women and boys and girls around you, and that proclamation is that we have a God that's God. Doesn't matter the circumstances that we're going through. We have a God that's God, and He's going to be God, and we need to proclaim it. And then number four, it says, make mention that His name is exalted. You know what that means? I mean, we're supposed to praise Him. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to proclaim. And then that last phrase that says, make mention that His name is exalted. You know what that means? It means we're supposed to talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. I mean, I'll go to work tomorrow and there'll be people that want to talk about the tires and how dismal they've been this weekend. There'll be people, I'll go and they'll want to talk about, something that's happened. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about Jesus. Who cares what the tires did? You know, 6 months from now, it's not going to make any difference anyway. 100 years from now, what they did over the weekend, not going to make any difference. But you know what? 100 years from now, it will make a difference what Jesus did this weekend. It will. It will. So, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am. The way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. We're so easy to talk about anything else. Why don't we talk about Him? Now you listen, I'm done. But you listen to me. you're here today and you have a longing in your heart and in your soul and you can't figure it out. You can't figure out what's missing. You can't figure out whether there seems to be something missing in your life. Maybe you have everything the world has to offer, but there's still something missing. I'll tell you what you're missing this morning. You're missing Jesus. And if you'll come, you can do just like this verse says. With joy, you can draw water out of the well of salvation. If you've already done that, you know that Jesus is your Savior, you praise Him. You pray. You proclaim. And then you talk about Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. And I pray this morning for those that might be here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, that right now the Holy Spirit would work on them and they would see themselves as a sinner and they would see themselves in need of a Savior. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as you draw them to the Savior, you would help them understand there's no other way that they can get their sins forgiven. No other way. No other way to get right with you. No other way to get into heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. And whether it's a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, Father, if they're here and they don't know Christ, help them right now to admit their sin. Help them right now to call upon the one, the only one that can save them. Help them to make that decision. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, I pray that you would remind us that you're a God who is God. You're a God who made us, loves us, has a purpose for us, has a plan for us, and has a promise for us. And I pray, Father, that we would spend our days praising you, praying, proclaiming, and talking about Jesus. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Father, have the Holy Spirit work. And if there's those here that need to come, help them to come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.